Deer Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, rugby fans, and welcome to episode 130 of the DNVR Rugby Podcast. My name is Colton Strickler. I'm your host. Looking forward to jumping into the show today, and we'll start the show off the same way we do every week, and that's by jumping into the breakdown. Breakdown is brought to you by O'Neill's. O'Neill's is the official sportswear supplier to the biggest teams in world rugby, Infinity Park, and the American Raptors. Shop apparel now at O'Neill's.com. That's O-N-E-I-L-L-S.com. So, start the breakdown by talking about the American Raptors, what's going on with them. Got a couple of updates. First one being that Victor Evans has signed with Rugby New York. I had actually heard this a few weeks ago, but I didn't want to say anything before it was officially official. But Vic was a guy who came to the Exos, I think, about a month or two after everything got started in 2021. But obviously played very well. Didn't see much of him in the fall because he was dealing with a little bit of a knee thing throughout the summer and into the fall. But I'm glad that didn't stop him from getting any other opportunities because he's he is a freak athlete. If you look at him, he's built like a statue. And I think he's going to have a bright future once he continues to learn the rules and the game of rugby a little bit more. But I think he's going to be somebody that's really good once he does get his feet under him, and it seems like they are taking his time getting him back to full strength before they throw him out there into an MLR match. So that's good to see. Congrats to Vic. Wishing him nothing but the best, and hopefully he gets some time and a chance to show what he's got. Some other American Raptors news from this week is that the Raptors are getting some special work in with USA Eagle Ben Pinkelman. Ben has obviously transitioned into the world of coaching, and he's come in to do a little special, ruck work with these guys this week, which I think is really good, and going to be interesting to see how it all goes. I chat a little bit more about this with Chase in the interview portion of the show, but it sounds like he was only there for a day, just came in Wednesday, but he's doing a session today on Thursday and then again tomorrow on Friday by the time everyone's listening to the show. So that's obviously going to be some good work and to pick up some tips and tricks of the trade that Ben knows, obviously, from playing on the 7 Series for so long. Obviously, he's played some 15s on the international level as well. But I think that's really about it. I know the Raptors announced the rest of the new additions to the team this year for the spring. I know there's a few people that are left off just because they haven't done the headshots and all that stuff yet. But you can go check all that out at AmericanRaptors.com/roster if you're interested. Watson Felikitonga, formerly of the LA Giltinis, is an interesting one. JP Aguirre has played a little bit around MLR. He's an interesting one as well. But it's important to get these guys in that have prior rugby experience, show them the ropes, teach them some stuff, especially some of these new guys. And I know that they're always recruiting, so I wouldn't be surprised if there's a few more people that wind up on the roster as the season goes along. That season is supposed to get started in about a month. I'm excited. Can you hear it? I'm excited. I'm excited for them to get started. It's been a while now. I'm ready to go. So obviously we'll keep everybody posted on what's going on with all that as they continue to build their team and get into playing some matches here. But for now, we'll go ahead and transition into the USA Rugby portion of the breakdown. USA Rugby announced today that 23 UK-based women's Eagles, obviously competing in the Allianz Premier 15s, will assemble and play a match against Wales on March 12th. So that's going to be extremely valuable for them as it is once again a Rugby World Cup year. Hopefully it actually can happen this year. It seems like things are trending in that direction. And any time that they can get together and get some work in and play a match or two, it's obviously going to be very beneficial. So that's good to see. Hopefully that'll be streamed. I'm interested in watching that one. Obviously, once we get some more information, I will relay that to you. And then we'll go ahead and close the breakdown with some MLR news. Really, the only thing I want to talk about in this segment is MLR launched a disciplinary wire today. So this comes after their launch of a trade wire before the season started. So you can get on the disciplinary wire and keep up with the latest suspensions and punishments and all that good stuff if that's what you're interested in. So they only have one in right now. That's the Dougie Fife of the New England Free Jacks. So we'll keep our eyes peeled and stay locked in on that disciplinary wire as the season goes along. We're going to talk about all the rugby you can watch this weekend. Got a good slate. No Six Nations, but plenty of other rugby to watch, starting with Major League Rugby Round 3. So we got New England Free Jacks versus Old Glory DC on Friday at 6 p.m. Rugby United New York and Rugby ATL will get the Saturday matches started at 1 p.m. We got the Toronto Arrows at NOLA Gold on Saturday at 2 p.m. We got the surprisingly 0-2 Utah Warriors at the Red Hot Austin Gilgronies on Saturday at 6 p.m. Looking to see if Utah can pick up their first win. It's not going to be easy. We got the Houston Sabercats at the Dallas Jackals. It's the first ever match for the Jackals, so I'm sure that'll be pretty fun to be there. Obviously, some Raptors playing in that one, so we'll keep our eyes on that. That's on Saturday at 6 p.m. Not sure if I said that. And then finally, to wrap up the weekend, we got the Seattle Seawolves at the San Diego Legion on Sunday at 3 p.m., arguably the best rivalry in the league. They always seem to play good, entertaining matches, so that's going to be a fun one to watch as well. You can catch all the matches this weekend on the Rugby Network. I got to get to the bottom of why Seattle always plays on Sundays. I know that was my job last year, and I never did it. I'll start making some calls. Got some Premiership Rugby to watch this weekend as well. We got Worcester Warriors versus Bristol Bears on Friday at 1:15 p.m. We got Harlequins versus Wasps. Bath versus Leicester Tigers, Northampton Saints versus Sale Sharks, London Irish versus Saracens. All those matches are on Saturday at 8 a.m. And then finally, to wrap up the weekend, we have Newcastle Falcons versus Exeter Chiefs on Sunday at 8 a.m. You can catch all of those matches on Peacock if you're watching the Olympics, so you can't miss it. Moving into the Allianz Premier 15s, I know I just talked a little bit about this, but we got a full slate of matches this weekend as well. Wasp FC Ladies versus Bristol Bears Women on Saturday at 6:30 a.m. We got Saracens Women versus Gloucester Hartbury Women's RFC and Worcester Warriors Women versus DMP Durham Sharks. Both those matches are on Saturday at 7 a.m. We got Loughborough Lightning versus Exeter Chiefs Women on Saturday at 12:15 p.m. And then Harlequins Women versus Sale Sharks Women wraps up the weekend on Sunday at 7 a.m. All these matches on Premier15s.com. And then last but certainly not least, we got Super Rugby starting back up. I love watching Super Rugby. I think it's my favorite competition. Super Rugby Pacific, so they added a couple new teams. Australia and New Zealand are playing each other again, so it's going to be fun. I'm excited about it. We got round one starting this weekend, so we got the Fijian Drua versus New South Wales Waratahs on Friday at 1:45 a.m., so obviously going to be after. When you're listening to this, it's going to be over. That match is going to already have happened. Brumbies versus Western Force on Friday at 8 p.m. Highlanders versus Chiefs on Friday at 8:35 p.m. Hurricanes versus Crusaders on Friday at 11:05 p.m. And then Melbourne Rebels versus Queensland Reds on Saturday at 1:45 a.m. Catch those matches on Flow Rugby. Loving the Friday night fixtures. I hope that stays the same throughout the rest of the season because that's awesome. I'm looking forward to watching that this weekend. That about does it for all the rugby you could watch this weekend. I know I missed a couple of things, but I'm trying to keep it consistent. Hopefully you carve out some time in your schedule to watch these matches. We'll go ahead and move into the interview portion of the show now. This interview with American Raptors forward Chase Stelling is brought to you by Guard Lab. Join the mouthguard revolution with American-made mouthguards that perform, protect, and recover. For more information, visit guardlab.com. Really enjoyed this chat with American Raptors forward Chase Stelling. Sometimes you just get a good feeling, like when you sit down with somebody and you start talking to them, you just kind of click and you know it's going to be a good interview. And I got that feeling with Chase. It's obviously the second or third time I've had him on. I know I talked to him very briefly at the crossover camp, the initial one that they had in November of 2020. Then I had him on in February of 2021. So about a year later, it was good to sit down and reconnect with him. Chase is one of the players that, like I said, he's been around from the beginning, so he has a great perspective on the progression of the program and all the players, and so he knows how far they've come. And we get into, you know, a lot of different things. So you get into his interesting offseason. There's some good Uruguay talk in there, and he gives us a taste of what's to come this season. And I really enjoyed it. I like Chase. I've been getting to know him a little bit better this season. So I hope everybody else enjoys this conversation as much as I did with American Raptors forward Chase Stelling. All right, now welcome back onto the show, American Raptors forward Chase Stelling. Chase, how's it going, man?
Going good, Colton. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. I've been, you know, I'm having a hard couple of days here with this stupid podcast board, but we're rolling again. I learned this in college, you know, like in my program, one of my professors told me, like, there's going to come a time where you do all this work and you write this whole thing, and then, like, your computer's going to freak out or you're going to accidentally delete it. He's like, and you're going to be really pissed off, but you're going to open up a beer and you're going to drink it and you're going to do it again and it's going to be better. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing right now, because we had a good little thing rolling there for a couple of minutes, so we're starting over. So
it's all good. I'd be down for an 8 a.m. beer if you got it.
It's pretty early, so we might have to put that off till a little bit later. But Chase, I guess the first thing I wanted to ask you, man, is just, you know, how's your off season? I know you're talking about getting back from Uruguay, so I guess you can just pick up right where you left off.
Yeah, man, yeah. So, you know, off season went. We finished our season down in Uruguay. I had a little LCL sprain, something going on the outside of my knee from the match we played down there. That took about a week, 2 weeks to kind of heal up. And then, you know, after that, just kind of continued to push myself, you know, physically, mentally, with getting ready for this upcoming season. You know, I didn't want to be the guy who showed up, you know, this preseason out of shape. You know, I wanted to show up in the best shape I could be in, you know, have the best skill set that I could have my skills as high as I could be, because I'm here to try and be a, you know, a leader on and off the field, try and be that example guy and, you know, just set that standard.
I know you're just talking about being in shape. So, Chase, I looked it up yesterday. Last time I had you on the show was February 4th, 2021. And wow. Last time I had you on, I know we talked about your weight a little bit too. But how much has changed even since, you know, that episode? Because you hadn't played rugby yet, and like I said, you particularly your weight. So, hey, how much you weigh now compared to, you know, what you weighed back then?
Oh, man. So if we go all the way back to when I was playing college football, peak athletic performance, you know, 340 pounds, whenever I was reached out to by at the time we were the Colorado Exos, but when I was reached out to by Peter Pask, I was, you know, 305, 300, came out here that November of 2020 for a little camp, you know, 300, 305, reported for that first season at 280. So I was about 280, you know, the last time you and I sat down and did this.
That's nuts, man. I know, like I was talking to you a couple of weeks ago, and I had this video on my phone from the Exos' first match in New Orleans. That was, what, at the end of February last year?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, and I have this video on my phone of you walking back into the locker room. You don't have a shirt on. You don't even look like the same person. And I was kind of saying, you know, I saw Jalen's post after Uruguay. He talked about how he lost 65 pounds, too. And it's, I don't notice it because I see you guys all the time. But, like, I guess when you came back from this last offseason was the first time I could really, like, see a big difference just in your face and everything. So,
yeah.
And I mean, then, like you just said, you're down almost 100 pounds from when you were in college, which is nuts, and I'm sure you feel a lot better.
Yeah, man. Yeah, consistently now between 245 and 250. I just feel great, man. You know, my body feels a lot better. My joints feel better. You know, the thought of – I remember being in college, the thought of having to run a mile was terrifying.
Yeah.
Right? And now it's –
Now you're doing – how many are you doing a day?
Oh, man, we'll do – I think at a training session – I think our training session yesterday, we averaged – 4.5K.
Jeez.
Just in one session.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's,
you have no it's choice, an afterthought but, now. It falls off, you know, right?
Exactly, right?
That's funny. And I know another question I asked you last time I had on the show, Chase, was like, if you remembered, if you had a point yet, because you'd only been playing for a little bit, like, where you realized that, that rugby was fun. And do you, can you look back and like remember, you know, when it kind of hit you, like, man, this is fun. I'm enjoying doing this.
Man, I remember my first experience, you know, kind of feeling that was, you know, our first match down in New Orleans. And then I just remember thinking to myself, like, even after that first game, that was the most fun I've ever had playing a sport.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was the week after that. You know, I wasn't able to participate because I'd got COVID, but the boys went out to LA and they played Belmont Shore, but I was able to go back to Belmont Shore the second time. So my second game was, you know, Belmont Shore. And I remember thinking to myself, I had more fun playing this game than I did the last game. And, you know, it just, I've had that thought, you know, almost after every single match. Like, I haven't, my thoughts on the game haven't regressed. It's not like I played a game and I didn't have fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just continues to build and continues to build. And, you know, the better shape you're in, the more fun the game is, because you can run around with your hair on fire and not have to worry about, you know, getting tired.
Right. And I think, I remember like talking to you after that first one in the locker room where it was kind of like everyone had cleared out and you're still sitting there and you were like, so what'd you think? And I was like, that, I didn't know what to think going into that. Like, I felt nervous, like going to, I just had no idea what was going to happen. And you said something similar. You're like, you know, I remember you asked me like this question and like, I know what you're talking about now that you've played this game. So do you have a game that you've played thus far that's been the most fun? Is that like a hard question to answer? But man, I'm sure there's got to be a couple that stick out.
For sure. For sure. The one that probably sticks out the most was down in Uruguay. We played, what were they called? I don't want to butcher.
Los Cuervos.
Los Cuervos. I didn't want to butcher it.
they had a great logo. That was awesome.
And I remember on our way to that game, you know, we left the city and, you know, we're going through some of the countryside and all those things. And it's real nice country. And then it starts to get dark real quick. And, you know, some of the guys are like, where are we going? You know, what are we, where's this setup at? You know, and we pull up to this compound and it's, you know, four or five rugby fields. They've got a nice little clubhouse, this giant barbecue pit. You know, at that point we pull up, they already got the barbecue pit going. So like, you know, playing the match, you're thinking like, oh, you know, that's cool. They're actually going to host us. You know, this is going to be like a proper rugby thing. But I remember playing, like going the bus ride there, you know, antsy, you know, in a foreign country. Like, we're really about to see what, you know, at least the club level of rugby is like in this, you know, in South America. And, you know, we go do some scrum stuff. We go do some line out stuff. You know, we're treating it like a scrimmage. You know, I think it was 30 minutes of line outs, 30 minutes of scrums, and then like an hour and a half or 2 hours of playing, right? And dude, like, I just remember having so much fun. Like, the energy, you know, in the scrum was just electric, like different than anything we had had up here. The line out session was, you know, electric, you know, different than anything we had had. Like, it was just such a high level of competition. And, you know, normally when you're playing rugby, you can talk like up here, like we can talk back and forth and communicate with the team, like, hey, good stuff. Or, you know, like, hey, man, kick rocks, you know, whatever. Like, you can talk to them. Up down there, when we were there, there was that language barrier. So it's like, do they know enough English to understand what I'm saying? Because I barely, like, I know just enough Spanish to get into trouble and not enough to get out of trouble.
Right. That's a good way to put it. I haven't heard that before.
I just remember being down there and like, The 3 weeks leading up to that, like, we had started doing a lot more conditioning and stuff like that, like ramping up to go play Southern Hemisphere style rugby, right? I just remember being down there, running on the field, making tackles, hitting rucks, you know, setting guys up, doing everything. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, I can run forever. Like, I remember being out on the field screaming that.
That's sea level, dude.
Yes, like, we train at 5,000 plus feet, and then you go down to sea level, and it's, you know, it's summer down there because they're on the other side of the equator, and it's like, I can run forever. Yeah. And it was an awesome feeling. That's probably the thought or the experience that sticks out the most in my head thus far.
That's funny you say that. It's different for me, obviously, because I don't play anymore. But, like, just for me, you know, being there taking pictures and, like, trying to, like, take it all in, that was the first time I felt like, oh, we're, like, in South America now. Like, and that whole thing was just so cool. It was, like you said, we get out of the city. We're getting into, like, okay, we're driving on, like, dirt roads. We're coming. We go to, like, it was in the middle of, like, a forest. Like, it was just... Yeah. Fields like in the middle of a forest. The clubhouse was awesome. The little like social area was awesome. That was for me. I was like, wow, like we're actually down here right now. Like, I'm watching you guys play.
That was cool. That was like the first, when I look back on it, like that's the other thing. And then the match at the Polo Club too, I thought was really fun.
Oh yeah. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Just like even being, I've never been to a Polo Club before. Like just everything about that was cool. Going in that building was really nice. Like having the little social on the patio after was awesome, man.
Oh, it was really cool. What was different about that was the fan engagement.
Yeah.
Like, I would probably say playing at the Polo Club was like my next best experience.
Yeah.
You know, because like when we're here, like when we play in the stadium and stuff, like, yeah, we got fans. And when we go play in other places, like, yeah, there's fans.
Yeah.
I remember when we went to Boston to play Mystic River, you know, they had a pretty big fan base out there. And, right. You know, they're from up north. They're from Boston. You know, yeah. they were hackling us on the, you know, on the pitch and all these things. And you're like, wow, this is crazy. Like, this is what it's like to play a rugby game and there's fans around. But, you know, playing at the Polo Club, it was... You know, it was really cool. Like all the fans were talking to us or like, you know, trying to talk to us and, you know, like you're playing the game and, you know, like they're electric because, you know, like we're this selects team playing their selects team. And, you know, it was just a really good environment. And then I remember after the game, people coming up to us and asking us like, can I have your jersey?
Yeah.
Can I have your jersey?
Yeah. Like, someone asked me, I was wearing a shirt and then I was like, asked this guy to take a picture. And he goes, I want your shirt. And I'm like, I don't have another shirt. But I give you my
you
shirt.
You want me to walk around naked?
Yeah, I'm about to not have a shirt on this bus ride, like back to the hotels.
Yeah, but like it was cool.
Yeah, no, that was cool. And even just like, if you remember the warm up, like you're in that little field, you know, off to the side, and I'm taking pictures and just like the people that filled in, like that
there
parking
was
lot that was like kind of looking down.
Yeah.
Like the people line up on the fence watch you guys play was insane.
Yeah. I mean, even like you're saying in that warm up area, now granted, I'm trying to focus on the game.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm, you know, my vision's like, you know, horse with blinders on. But, you know, as we're getting ready to leave that field to go line up to go out on, you know, the field for the match, you know, they all like line up and start like high fiving us. Like,
yeah.
The Uruguayan selects teams, fans are like lining up to like give us five. Like they're just looking at us like, oh my goodness. Like these are American football players, like playing rugby. Like they're looking like, I mean, and we're standing next to these guys and I'm like, we're just a giant team. And like, that's how they're looking at us. Like we're just, you know, these big Americans.
That was awesome. Yeah. That was the people stopping in cars and they kept saying NFL. And I was like, some of them, some of the guys are. Oh, that's awesome. So I know you had a pretty busy off season, even after your, like when you got back from Uruguay, right? You were bouncing around and I saw you got to meet Eddie Jones. You got to talk to Eddie Jones for a little bit. So what was that like?
Yeah, man, it was cool. You know, so I was in England, you know, that's where my wife's from. So we were over there visiting family for the first time in a few years because of all the craziness that's been going on in the world, right? Well, we had the opportunity to go to a European Cup match. It was Harlequins playing. Oh, goodness. I can't remember.
You're
exactly
forgiven.
We
it's playing. Okay.
Thank you. But yeah, Harlequins, right? Like that's why we were there.
Details.
Yeah, we were there to see Harlequins, right? So, you know, we're there. We're at the Twickenham Stoop. And, you know, the game's about to get started. They're finishing their warm-ups and stuff. And my father-in-law goes, oh, my God, that's Eddie Jones. And I said, really? Who's Eddie Jones? And he looked at me, and I was like, what? Yeah. And then, like, he says, that's Eddie Jones. And I look back at him, I'm like, oh, that's England. Like, that's the head coach for England. And he's like, yes, Eddie Jones. I was like, oh, like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't know his name necessarily,
he's
but I knew his face.
He's a recognizable figure, yes.
Exactly. As soon as I saw his face, I was like, oh my gosh, like, that's like the Bill Belichick of England rugby for football in the States. Yeah. Like, this, like, it's a big name. And my father-in-law was like, do you want to go try and talk to him? Uh-huh. I was like, okay, yeah. I mean, the worst thing you can say is no, right?
Yeah.
But no, like, it wasn't even like that. We get over there, you know, my father-in-law introduces me, you know, Mr. Jones stands up, shakes my hand. He's sitting there with his coffee, you know, all snuggled up. You know, it was cold at that game. But, you know, shook my hand. We ended up having a conversation. You know, I was kind of explaining him, you know, my journey from rugby, and he was genuinely interested. Like that was really cool to see. And then he actually, I think the coolest part of the whole conversation was he knew who we were.
Yeah.
Like he knew the Colorado Exos program, rebranded American Raptors. I was explaining the whole thing to him, like, you know, oh, we're a bunch of former high level playing football athletes. You know, we've all crossed over to try and figure out this rugby thing. And, you know, up to this point, we've had some pretty good success with it. He looks me dead in the face and goes, oh, you play out in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah.
Yes. That's yes, awesome, sir. Man. I do.
That's awesome. No, what an experience. So I saw that. That was, I had to ask you about that. If you saw the picture. So then I know you said you were bouncing around even a little bit after England and you had an offer on the table from Rugby New York. Is that correct? So was that kind of in the cards there for a little bit too?
I did. Yeah. You know, for a minute, I thought I was going to end up going to New York. You know, for me personally, New York was wanting me to come out there and they were wanting me to prop. Mm-hmm. They were looking at me more kind of as a prop.
Yeah.
Which, you know,
lost all that weight, man.
Well, yeah, I lost all the weight. You know, I worked hard on, you know, skills and, you know, trying to pretty much take prop off the table for myself. Cause yeah. I remember when I first got here, they were like, oh, well, you know, we can kind of see you as a prop or, you know, maybe a second row. And then, you know, maybe a back row, like if you worked really, really hard.
Right.
Well, I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm not scared of working really, really hard. So, you know, but I was on the phone with Marty and Rick in New York. And, you know, they were both class acts. You know, they were great guys. You know, they were ready to give me an opportunity. You know, personally for myself, I decided that, you know, maybe I don't see prop being in the future for myself. I've had a lot of other people tell me the exact same thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like I made the better decision. But, you know, I wish those guys nothing but the best this season. We've got two former American Raptors out there.
You got Vic Evans and Caleb Geiger out there. So, and then even like Max is kind of on like a little, you know, back and forth type of thing, I think too. So
absolutely. Yeah. No, yeah. It's great. You know, one thing that really had drawn my attention to New York was on the phone with Rick and Marty. And, you know, when I got to meet them here, when they came out to two of our matches, was they genuinely seemed like they cared about the development of, you know, domestic talent in rugby, like crossover guys. They cared about it. Like they cared, they seemed like they really cared about developing American athletes into rugby players. And that was one thing that just really drew my attention towards them.
That's awesome. That's good to hear. So I guess we'll kind of pivot and just kind of ask you about what's been going on the last couple of weeks. You guys have been back at it for 2-3 weeks now. You got a new head coach. So what's it been like, you know, running around with Paul for this first couple of weeks?
Yeah, man, it's been different. And I say different in the sense of we've been ramping up on our conditioning. The conditioning aspect of things has picked up drastically, you know, which is great. And then, you know, we're able to express ourselves a little bit more as players now.
Yeah.
You know, like that first whole year we were kind of focusing on, you got to make this basic pass.
Yeah.
You got to make this basic pass. Like, why didn't you stick to the basics? Why did you try and force something? You know, not that we're out there, Paul's not telling us to go out here and force a pass or nothing like that, but it's like, we're able to kind of express ourselves a little bit more as rugby players.
You have
now
a little bit more idea of what's, you know, going on. And with that, you know, you have some more freedom. You kind of get through that first doorway and it opens up and you can do different things.
For sure. For
That's
sure.
A good feeling.
You know, he brings a level of class. Like even in our meeting rooms, like you can tell things are different. Everybody's in there with their notebooks out, you know, no hats in the meeting rooms. It's just not only is it kind of like a respect thing, but it's just more like that professionalism.
Yeah,
it's
all
like,
business. We're here to work.
Exactly. You know, you could almost argue at some points it was like, you know, we're here, we're doing this, and it hit, like, we just hit a lull, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't see that lull coming at any point because, number one, us as players, like, we don't want that because we know we've got big things in the future that are on the rise, right?
Yeah.
And then as coaches, they don't want – Paul doesn't want to see that from us, and then the other coaches don't want to see it from us. So it's just ever since he's got here, you know, it's been big energy. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, you know, the structure and the communication and the way things were ran when we were down in Uruguay. You know, when we were in Uruguay, like everything was like clicked on. Like everything was, you know, communication was good from top to bottom. You know, everybody knew what was going on. You knew the expectation. And then, you know, it's just kind of picked up from where it left off from there, kind of running this, you know, up to this point in the preseason.
That's awesome, man. I know I'm excited to kind of see what it looks like here in a couple of weeks when things, you know, really get going and matches start happening. Because just like you said, the changes from the beginning have been evident. So I'm excited to see what that translates to on the field. I know something else you got going on this week is Ben Pinkelman's in town, working with you guys on some, you know, rucking stuff, I would assume. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, well, what's that been like?
It's been good.
I know you only had one session with him. Yeah. You got two more coming up.
Yeah. We got another session with him today. And then tomorrow we're going to crank it up. And I think we're going to take the things he's been teaching us and go full noise with it.
Nice.
But he's a pretty intense guy, you know, which is good. Like, that helps. You know, that helps guys like focus. Like, oh, he said a bad word. You know, something like that. Like, that draws attention. Like, this group of guys we got, it draws their attention to that. Like, oh, but it's not just, you know, he's up there saying what he's saying. Like, it shows to us, to me, it shows like he's got passion about this, you know? Yeah. Like, he's up there saying the things he's saying the way he's saying them because he's passionate about this. And that draws your attention to it. And then that makes you want to, you know, that whenever we went to the dome, that makes you want to do the things, you know, that he's saying right or even better than what he's saying, you know, along those lines.
Have you been able to pick up some little like tips and tricks already? Like, even if just in the one day, that's good.
Yeah, for sure.
He was one of the best on the 7 series at that. So
yeah, that's what we were said. And another thing that I like about him is he seems genuine with admitting the things that he was good at and the things that he struggled with. Like, he told us straight up yesterday, you know, he was an arm tackler for most of his career, but you know, in and around the breakdown, he was
a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's good, man. That's good to hear, and that's a good person to learn from, so I'm excited to see kind of what that looks like, too. Last two questions before I let you go, Chase, is just – it might be one question. We combine into two, so I'll ask you at the same time.
All right.
So are there a few of the new players that have caught your eye already, and who do you think could be a new player, could be a returning player? Who do you think's like prime to have a big season? First, pick a few.
First guy I think of off the top of my head is a guy that's a returner for us, Line Latu.
Yeah.
You know, Line didn't get to play with us in our second season because, you know, he was in a car accident. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would mind me saying he was in a car accident. And, you know, he wasn't able to recover in time. He was able to come down with us to Uruguay and train with us while we were down there. And, you know, you get to see some of the things that he was doing for us in our first season. So
yeah,
I'm super excited for Line this season to, you know, to continue to develop, you know, come back and be like that on-field general for us, you know, because I remember Line the first season we played like at 10, you know, sometimes or even just as a rugby player in general, not even just being a new rugby player, you know, sometimes as a forward, you know, you're dog tired coming out of scrum, line out. Sometimes you need the back to tell you, like,
hey,
like, get here. Get like, this is where you need to be. Or, like, you know, this is what we're doing. Like, all right, cool. Let's do it. You know, Line did a great job of that for us. And, you know, I'm looking forward to having him back for sure. And I know a lot of the other guys are too. You know, we've got some guys that are here that were here that came in late last season that are continuing to still develop. You know, one guy that comes to mind is, you know, Caleb Rep. You know, super uncomfortable looking when we first started jumping in lineouts. You know, he's a tall 6'5" figure for us, you know, lanky, lean, but he's an athlete, right? Like, you jump out the gym. I've seen him, you know, about headbutt the backboard, you know, playing basketball. Like, dude's an athlete, right? You know, but he's starting to get more comfortable. You know, it's guys like him, like, he's starting to ask the right questions. You know, he's curious enough to ask those questions, which is great. You know, we've only got two guys here that haven't touched a rugby ball before. Isaiah and Colby.
Yeah.
Isaiah was a track guy, I believe, at Wisconsin, and then Colby was a quarterback for Kentucky.
Yeah.
And even, you know, even Colby, you know, he's got some ball skills and things like that. Like, it translates kind of well from quarterback. You know, as long as Colby can pick up the physical aspect of things, you know, with being a quarterback, you know, quarterbacks in the weight room, you know, they do their band stretches. They might flirt with the dumbbells for a second and they, you know, they're done. Right. You know, if he can lean into, you know, being a rugby guy, you know, like, this is what it takes. Like, you know, we're in the weight room, we're clicked on, you know, we're on the field, you know, we're clicked on. It's not, you know, individual drills and things. Like, you're
not in a red jersey playing rugby.
You're gonna get hit, and now you're expected to hit, right? So, you know, I'm excited for him. You know, personally, I'm excited to see a quarterback go through this journey.
Me too, because this will be like the first quarter. This will be the first quarterback, right?
I don't think there's been
a quarterback that's come through, and I would imagine that he's gonna be playing a position where you make a little bit more decisions, right? Like, he might be a 9 or a 10. So that'll be good to see, because that's kind of been the thought, right? Is if you can get a guy in here who's played quarterback and is used to making decisions, like, teach him how to make rugby decisions and see how they do.
Yeah. Another guy, who I'm kind of excited for, who maybe I see some of, maybe a little bit of me in, is Adagio.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a Kansas offensive lineman. You know, he's a big body. You know,
I think Adagio might be the biggest human I've ever seen. Like, he's up there. And I saw him, I was like, wow. he's a large man.
He's a big guy. But he's, you know, he's like 290 right now, 295, but he carries his weight well.
Yeah.
Like, he is, like, no, he is big, but he doesn't look that big, you know?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. He's a big guy. I'm looking forward to see that, too. I saw the video of you coaching him up in the lineouts little bit, so.
Oh, man. So, he, being new to this, you know, I mean, in a sense, we're all still new to it, right? Like, I've only been playing for a little over a year now. We were doing lineouts. And, you know, we've been really practicing, like, stretching out, like, getting the jumper, you know, to max, you know, that height, right? So, I've got Mikey Grandy in front of me. He's another one that I'm excited about.
Yeah.
I've got Mikey Grandy in front of me. You know, he's 6'4", 6'5", lifting me from the front. I've got Adagio behind me, 6'4", 6'5". And, you know, I'm a true 6'4", 6'5", you know. Like, I'm, you know, we're all three, like, the same height, right? And, you know, they're throwing me. And Adagio throws me. And lets me go. And I guess, like, he was like, wow, I just did that. Yeah. You know, admiring the fact that, like, I left his hands, right? So, like, I'm, you know, 15 feet in the air or whatever, like, with my hands stretched out. And I guess, like, in the excitement, he forgot to catch me. So, like, I was like, oh, like, you know, I fall all that way back down. And, you know, luckily I was able to hit, you know, feet, butt, back, and then head, you know, like, didn't just fall straight on my head, but I jumped up. He was like, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. Like, I was like, oh, man, it's cool. Like, it's, you know, it's only your second week. If it happens next week, we'll have a different talk. No, like, I'm excited, man. You know, but I see a lot of potential in him, you know, because, like, I was that big when I got in here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I've been able to develop and, you know, change my body, change my lifestyle, like, probably add some years back on my life.
Yeah.
Granted, that might be counterintuitive with playing rugby, but, you know, we'll see, man. Like, I'm excited for him. Nolan's another big guy. You know, even just in the 2-3 weeks that we've been back here, he seems like he's a bit more confident now, more of a vocal kind of guy. So, like, I'm just, you know, those are just a couple guys off the top of my head. You know, I could name every single guy and tell you what I'm excited about, but, you know, for the sake of the time that we've got.
That might be a different episode. I think that's all the questions I had for you, though, Chase. I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate you bearing with me with these. One was a technical difficulty. The other one was I missed a button. But I appreciate it, man. I'm looking forward to a big season. I'm looking forward to seeing what you do, and I'll catch up with you, of course, down the road.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me on.
All right. I hope everyone enjoyed that conversation with American Raptors forward Chase Stelling. Thank you to Chase for taking the time to chat with me. I alluded to it a little bit in the interview, but I had some technical difficulties. We tried to do it the day before. It didn't work. Had to get up early in the middle of this, you know, the snowstorm, the aftermath of this blizzard here in Denver, go in real early in the morning and knock it out in person. So I appreciate his flexibility. And then on top of that, I messed up with the sound. I had the effects button pushed and we sound like aliens. So I had to scrap the first 5 minutes and redo it. So I appreciate Chase being a good sport and bearing with me because I was having a Monday on a Thursday. But I enjoyed that conversation. Hope everybody did as well. Thank you to Chase. And we'll go ahead and move into the required reading portion. Oh, no, we won't because there's no required reading this week. I scratched it. Nothing really caught my eye, grabbed my attention. So we'll go ahead and move on to the loop. Got a couple more projects in the work that I'm excited about. After my lateral piece took a few weeks to kind of regroup, and I have my eyes on two different things that I'm working on now. And I'm also writing this MLR grab bag every week. You know, obviously after all the MLR matches, put them out on Monday. It's going to be a couple that go out on Tuesday, I'm sure. But I'm enjoying doing that. I hope everyone's enjoying reading it. We'll also be covering American Raptors matches once they start playing matches in about a month or so. So make sure you stay tuned for that. I'm trying to write way more this year. I kind of slacked at that last year. So something I'm focusing on. Best way to keep up with all that content is to follow along on Twitter at @DNVR_rugby and at Colton Strickler. That's the best way to do it. Best way to keep up with the podcast by subscribing on the Apple Podcasts or Spotify app. If you enjoy the show, please leave a review. It's good. It helps me out a lot. I appreciate everyone that listens. And I appreciate you for listening to this show this week because that's my show for the week. So thank you to everybody that listened. Enjoy all the matches this weekend. I'll catch you all back here next Friday.